I am currently a doctoral student at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in the Department of Maternal and Child Health. But prior to coming back to school, I was a CDC prevention specialist assigned to the Baltimore City Health Department. And my 2 years there, I was in charge of our teen pregnancy prevention initiative. So I feel incredibly grateful to have gone after these two presentations who really lay the groundwork as to how we tried to implement that research in a real setting. I have no financial relationship to disclose. I can't write it either. And I'm acting as a representative of the Baltimore City Health Department today. So what we're going to talk about today are the two main initiatives the city has right now, Be More for Healthy Babies and Know What You Want, and I'll tell you more about those, a strategic roundtable we had and the lessons we learned as a city, and then the next steps, how things are going. So really this is about how this great information is being implemented in a real health department. So Baltimore City has two comprehensive multi-agency strategies with mayoral proclamations. In Baltimore, it's a small city that acts as a county. A mayoral proclamation is a big deal. It's the mayor saying, like, this is a priority for us. We're going to do this collectively with multiple agencies. So we were able to secure two mayoral proclamations. The first was under the strategy to improve birth outcomes, which became the branded Be More for Healthy Babies. And the second was the strategic plan to reduce teen and unintended births, and also known as the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Initiative, and that became Know What You Want. So Be More for Healthy Babies is a strategic plan to address infant mortality and poor birth outcomes at the individual level, families and communities, services, and system and policies. We know that you can't just provide services and make a difference in infant mortality reduction and improving birth outcomes. We know that there has to be better services. People need to understand the importance of putting their babies to sleep on their back. They need to understand, we need providers who actually work with people and tell them how important all of these pieces are, breastfeeding, prenatal care, things like that. It's a unique partnership. It's partially through the Baltimore City Health Department as well as the Family League of Baltimore. And this was an important relationship that was built because it's a government agency working with a nonprofit, which anyone who has done practice-based work knows that opens you up to an entirely new funding stream. So we were really fortunate. We have two leads who are the co-authors on this, and one of them is the Assistant Commissioner for Maternal and Child Health, and the other sits at the Family League of Baltimore. The vision of Be More for Healthy Babies is that our hope is that all of Baltimore's babies are born at a healthy weight, full term, and ready to thrive in healthy families. So the background of Be More for Healthy Babies, if you're familiar with Baltimore City, it has the highest infant death rate in Maryland, the fourth highest infant mortality rate in the country. We were able to get it down to about 10.5 recently, and a couple of years ago when I first started, it was at 13.5, which that's incredibly high for infant mortality rates. The next slide will show you a little bit about the city compared to the surrounding areas. So the very top line is Baltimore City, and the green bar below that is Prince George's County, which is a neighboring county, which has very similar socioeconomics even, and you can see just how much higher we are even than them. The racial and ethnic distribution of infant mortality, as you might expect in any setting, but particularly in Baltimore, it's pretty incredible. Our infant mortality rate for our African Americans is 14.5 in this past year. White is 3.5. So the goals of Be More for Healthy Babies were to reduce preterm births, reduce low birth weight, and the number of unsafe sleep deaths. That last piece comes out of that was the most immediate thing, and we have an incredibly high number of babies who die of SIDS in Baltimore. We've made great headway on that one, but for us, we couldn't ignore what was this thing that we could do something about today. We wouldn't have to change the structures of the systems or healthcare. We just need to do better messaging about how to put your babies to sleep. So those first two are the ones we'll really talk about today, which is preterm birth and low birth weight. So what came along after Be More for Healthy Babies, but also kind of in tandem, was this idea that there were too many teen and unintended pregnancies in Baltimore. And so we worked together, we built a citywide initiative called Know What You Want, and I'll show you a little bit of our stuff in a minute. But our priority action points were it's the same kind of thing as Be More. We know that we need policies that make it possible for young people to get services. We know that we need clinics that are friendly to youth and people feel like they can go and they can get what they need. We, in Baltimore City, it's incredibly important to have community input. It's often called Smalltimore, if you've ever lived or worked there. It's a very tight-knit, small city. If you don't have community buy-in, you will not be successful. So it's been a big deal for us to make sure that young people in communities are participating in the development of our projects. Our intended outcomes align with an initiative called Healthy Baltimore 2015, which is the citywide strategy to improve health. It's similar to a Healthy People 2020 goal, but it's very specific to the city. We wanted to reduce total teen births by 20%, primary teen births by 15%, and secondary teen births by 20%. And the reason for that is that we have an incredibly high number of teens who give birth to a second and often third child before they turn 20. So we decided to be very explicit with our goal setting and say that we will not solely focus on primary prevention of a first pregnancy. A lot of times in teen pregnancy prevention, if you miss that first one, it's like a one and done. Oh, we lost. And we decided to be very, very clear that we didn't want to see it that way. So as you can see here, this is Baltimore versus Maryland. This is our teen birth rate. As to be expected, Black or African American is significantly higher. Just a note on that Hispanic, Latino, that is an overestimate on this. This is from the end of the 2000s, of 05 to 09. With the new census data that came out, that number dropped a lot because our denominator became a lot better. So, but it's still as high as the African American rate. I just don't want to make it seem like it was more hyperinflated than it is. And this is the bread and butter of how Be More for Healthy Babies and Know What You Want came together. This is inadequate birth spacing is what we call it, but it's exactly what was just talked about, which is how much time between pregnancies, interpartum spacing, for all of our multivorous women in the city. And we broke it out by age. So less than 12 months, you can see that 10% of 15 and 19-year-olds in the city are getting pregnant, they're delivering, because this is on delivery data, because I did this off birth certificates. That means they got pregnant within 3 months of delivering a child. And you can see the 12 to 26 months is significantly higher. That's 50% of all of our teens. And that means that they delivered their second child before they were 20. So not even the time of conception, that's delivery. So this is where we realized, okay, these two initiatives have the funding, they have the infrastructure, we need to work together. We have the same goals. So the aligning happened about 2 years ago, where we decided to put together our core implementation teams and our leadership and say we should all sit together on this because we really do have the same outcomes in mind, which was reducing unintended pregnancy and promoting healthy birth spacing. So the first major thing that we did was generating a citywide strategy, which in Baltimore is incredibly important, just like any city of implementing something. You have to get buy-in, and it has to be from a lot of people, especially for long-acting reversible contraceptives and putting it with the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Initiative. It wasn't without headache. It wasn't without pushback, as you might imagine. But we felt that going with Be More for Healthy Babies and putting it under this infant mortality reduction strategy, it gave us such greater ability to work with partners. So we met in February this past year. We had representation from the local health department, the state health department, Medicaid, Title V, Title X, school health, Planned Parenthood, nonprofits, Johns Hopkins, University of Maryland, home visiting, you name it, they were there. Pretty much every touch point that a woman or child might have in the city of Baltimore was present at this meeting and participated in coming up with this planning. And it was just an incredible day. We did a lot of nominal group process to figure out how people felt about what was going on and how to move forward. But one of the highlights is definitely we've built a relationship with the Contraceptive Choice Project in St. Louis, and we were able to bring Dr. Gina Sakura out to Baltimore because St. Louis is often the city that Baltimore is compared to. They're the two most similar cities in the United States. They're both independent cities. Their racial and ethnic makeups are very similar. Their religious backgrounds are very similar. So nobody could look at Gina and say, we can't do it here because you don't know what it's like. And so we felt like this was a great marriage of folks that could sit together and say, you don't know our troubles in Baltimore. No, they do in St. Louis. So this for us was a really, really big thing. She was very engaging and got people on board to say that we can move forward. So out of the things that happened during the day and all of the things that people said, we found out that the things we could not ignore were addressing provider knowledge, attitudes, and practices. We knew that before we went in, but we needed everybody to say it. Addressing community knowledge, attitudes, and practices. Again, we knew that going in, but we couldn't move forward without people saying it. And then lastly, enhanced service provision activities, which again, these all made sense. But we came up with real ways to do it. So we used nominal group process multiple times during the day, which is, if you're not familiar, it's giving everyone a vote of equal votes. So you start together and you brainstorm, and then everyone gets to decide what is most important to them. So we allowed people to brainstorm what the biggest barriers were, and overwhelmingly people said that it was the provider attitude. Not knowledge, not practice, but attitudes. And there were many, many providers in the room, from clinicians, nurses, family docs, obstetricians, and they voted that way as well. So we decided we couldn't ignore that. So we worked with our evaluation team and our extensive provider network to come up with a survey that could really address and find out more what are these attitudes. Because we know that until the evidence has come out and people, and just recently with ACOG's recommendations, people were not saying that this is the first line for teens or neurofirst women. And now that's a great thing. So we were able to work as a team to come up with a good evaluation for the city. And we are preparing to distribute that now, where they are, because I've gone on. But a really great survey to find out exactly what needs to be handled and what needs to be dealt with and how we can reduce those misconceptions. So knowing that we had to deal with community knowledge, attitudes, and practices, long-acting reversible contraceptives, especially IUDs, don't have a great reputation everywhere. They, particularly in Baltimore, don't always have the greatest reputation. So we thought it was really important that we make sure we find out what it is people think and how we can move forward. So both Be More for Healthy Babies and Know What You Want have really strong communication campaigns with radio. There's television, internet, social marketing, swag. I have at the end you'll see the links to our sites, and I would encourage you to check it out. We have quite a bit going on. And so we decided to use those as means to really get out information. In partnership with Planned Parenthood over the summer, there was a huge marketing campaign around long-acting reversible contraceptives in teens and nulliparous women on the sides of buses, on the sides of billboards, which in the state of Maryland was a really big deal for us, and we were really proud to be a part of that. We also have informal groups, like we have a mom's club that is like Baby Basics. It's supportive networking for moms, and the Youth Advisory Councils act as touch points for education and building peer networks and for distributing information. The last thing we did was we made sure to have a customer service indicator, and we had teens from our Youth Advisory Councils and our peer educators cold call multiple clinics throughout the city who claim to be youth-friendly and ask for long-acting reversible contraceptives in partnership with Title X of our state. And the findings have been astounding. And our Title X program is funding to do a significant amount of training to our clinics on customer service and how do you talk to teenagers. And it's been a huge, huge thing. And we're so excited for that training to happen because we don't think it's just the clinician that matters in this relationship. It's whoever answers the phone. How long do you wait on hold? Like, if you say, I want that thing that she saw on television, do they know what it is? So we're very excited about that moving forward. And the last piece that we've done has been enhancing service provision activities. We have built a free comprehensive provider toolkit in partnership with a number of organizations that's available on our website. And it has counseling guides, method guides, life plans, reimbursement guides, clinic posters, beautiful clinic posters. We spent some money and worked with the Maryland Institute College of Art to come up with really youthful things. We've also been working to eliminate barriers to insertion, such as same-day reimbursement policies on Medicaid. Many of you probably know there's a lot of challenges with same-day insertions in Medicaid sometimes. We have a lot of complaints of stockouts because clinics can't put up the money up front to build their stock, so we've been trying to work with them. And improve scheduling access. We had a clinic that only did insertions between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. That's not helpful if you're a teenager in school. That's not going to get us very far. So we've changed the hours at a couple of clinics and been very successful with that. And in building a stronger network between the school-based health centers and service delivery. And I'll close with our lessons learned, that we were way more aligned than we thought. Infant mortality reduction and teen pregnancy prevention do not traditionally work together in most settings, despite the fact that we do have a lot in common. So this revised vision makes a lot more sense to our two programs. The baby should be born wanted and intended at a healthy weight full term in families ready to thrive. Teen moms actually have some of the best birth outcomes in Baltimore, surprisingly, but their second births are at the highest risk of death before their first birthday. So it's hugely important to both initiatives. We share the same providers. Our OBGYNs, pediatricians, nurses, midwives, and our funding streams are all very similar. And lastly, a huge lesson learned was that we were able to share costs of administrative items. We shared accountants. We shared budget officers. We shared physical office space and computers. Things like that made a really big difference in implementing the program on a city level. And these are our next steps, so I can tell you about them later afterwards.
Let's go to your website.
Oh, the website? Sure.
The one that where people can get all this material.
Yes. This is knowwhatyouwant.org. And I will provide anything afterwards to
folks. That's great. Thank you.
Thanks.